I'm going to base my message on Exodus chapter 14, which has a lot of similarities to Psalm 46, where we have our anchor scripture for the year. Lessons from the wilderness experience. Lessons from the wilderness experience. For some of us who have attended the Bible study, we would find some of the things familiar, but for those of us who haven't been this year, it might be different. But even for those of us who've been at Bible study, I trust God that there will be some fresh things for us. Amen. My text is Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 to 16. Exodus chapter 14, 13 to 16. And I'd like you, if you can, please stand up to your feet as we read God's word. Exodus chapter 14, 13 to 16. The NIV says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Let us pray. Father, thank you because you're a good, good Father. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is fresh. Every time we look at your word, there's something fresh, something new in it for us. Pray, Father, that you would just expose your word in a new way. You give us insight, you give us understanding, you give us revelation. Pray you would speak, Lord, in a manner, in a way we can understand, in a way we can relate to. Lord, I ask that you would enable every one of us to be doers of your words and not just hearers only. Honor you, we'll bless you, we'll praise you, for we pray in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Please be seated. And Moses said unto the people, the KJV says, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." Not tomorrow, today. "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." As I said earlier, there are a lot of similarities between Exodus 14 and Psalm 46, our anchor scripture, where the Lord says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Here, the Israelites, and quite understandably, very agitated because they see the army of Pharaoh with the latest chariots marching valiantly to get them. And they're rattled, they're worried, they're scared. They think they're going to die. So they cry out and tell Moses, I mean, why did you bring us here? We told you we didn't want to go to the promised land. We wanted to, it would be better for us to remain slaves. We wanted to remain here and serve these people. And the Lord told them in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. I mean, how can you stand still when the army of Egypt is marching against you? When you can hear the sound of chariots, but unknown to them, there were things that God had taken care of that they could not see. For instance, we're told that in verse 19, we're told, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. So the angel that was leading them relocated and went behind them. And the cloud, the pillar of cloud, relocated and caused a barrier between them. So no matter how fast the Egyptian army moved, they could not get close to the Israelites. But the Israelites had no idea. So when God told them, you know, in verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse 14, he told them, the Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. It means that God had taken care of the situation. There was nothing to be worried about. So when the Lord says, be still and know that I am God, it means he has already put things in place. I can't tell you to be still, because I am human. I am mere mortal. The so-called most powerful man in the world, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, cannot tell you to be still and know that he is the president of the United States. Because the moment he tells you that, God can tell him, you fool, I demand your soul, and he drops dead. Who will protect you? But because God is God, he is the Almighty. He's the one who began the beginnings. The one who was in existence before the beginnings began. The one without beginning and without end. The one who speaks and it comes to pass. Remember the story of the resurrection. Just one angel rolled the stone and sat on it. And the security men, the sentry, the top security forces that had been placed around the tomb became like dead men. So the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Why? Because the battle is the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the battle belongs to the Lord. And you know, one of the most difficult things to do is to be still in the midst of trouble. You know, when you open your email, or you open your letter, or you receive some news that shakes you to your core. As a human being, the last thing you want to do, you can even do, is to be still. But the Lord is telling us we should be still, because the battle belongs to Him. The battle does not belong to us. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's why He's saying we need to be still. We need to stand aside and see His victory, and see His deliverance, and see the things that He would wrought, He would work out on our behalf. Amen. Amen. Now, at the Bible study, we looked at different things. We looked at receiving the instruction. We looked at the revelation. We looked at the reaction. We looked at the response. We looked at the requirement, each one beginning with an R. But today, because of time, I'm not going to be able to go through everything. So I'm just going to focus on one or two. Now, in the walk with God, in the journey of life, as a child of God, you must be able to receive instruction. You must be able to hear God. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ, when it was time for Him to go, when He told His disciples, and you can look at John chapter 12, they were troubled, and understandably so. They lived with Jesus for 3 years. They could see Him, they could touch Him, they could talk to Him, they could hear Him. Initially, they didn't know who He was, but with time, they began to understand that there's something special about this man. He's not ordinary. And then He tells them, "I go away." And they're thinking, "Where are you going to?" And they were understandably worried and troubled. But He told them, "Look, it's better for you that I go. Because if I go, then I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit." And He says that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. And the Holy Spirit, And you know, normally the Holy Spirit, I would say the Greek word is parakletos. It's a very rich word. And sometimes when you look at the Greek, you discover that the English language really is a very poor language. It's because you've hardly find one word in the English language that appropriately describes a Greek word. It's very rare. So parakletos means so many things. Comforter, intercessor, encourager, teacher, helper, so many things rolled into that one word. And those are the different ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes, He dwells within us when we get born again. But to get the most of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we must be able to hear Him. He speaks. He ministers. He guides. He leads. But do you hear Him? Are you able to receive instruction from Him? God spoke to Moses very clearly. He heard the instruction. He received the instruction. God is speaking to you all the time through the Holy Spirit. Do you hear Him? Do you hear Him? Are you able to receive His instruction? Are you able to receive His direction? And if you're in a position where you're not really clear about how God speaks to you, and God speaks in different ways, But whatever means by which the Holy Spirit speaks to you, God will not contradict his word. So the scriptures would always be the final authority. But whichever way God speaks to you, so it might be through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, might be through for some people it might be a dream, for some people it might be the still small voice, for some people it might be a passage of scripture jumping at you. Whichever way God speaks to you, you can improve on it. So if you're in a position where you don't even know how God speaks to you, you need to start by taking baby steps. Somebody say baby steps. So for instance, you want to go somewhere. Say you're going by public transport and you have three different routes, possible routes to your destination. You can ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, guide me, speak to me. How should I go? Then listen and then follow what you think is the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you know, you will find out sooner or later whether or not it's the Holy Spirit. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, then that would be the best route. And you know, so you take it in. I say baby steps because you start with things that are not fundamental. You know, so you're driving and you have 3, 4, 5 different routes you can take. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Things that are not fundamental. So that when you come to the fundamental issues of life, where should I live? Who should I marry? How many children should I have? You know, fundamental things that are difficult to reverse. You're already on the right path. You know how God leads you, and so it's easy for him to guide you and to lead you. But you need to take those baby steps. And even for those who can hear God and who receive from God, you can develop it. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't strive with us. So if he gives you an instruction and you don't follow it, he's unlikely to give you another one. So the more you follow his instruction, the better and the clearer his leading, his direction become. But that's crucial. In our walk with the Lord, we must be in a position to receive instruction from him, because he is the Lord. You know, he's not just Savior. He wants to be sat on the throne of your life. He wants to be in charge. He is the Lord. And if he's the Lord, he will give instructions. He will direct you. He will guide you. Moses was able to say to the people in verse 13, he said, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He was that confident. Why? Because in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4, God had already given Moses an insight into what will happen. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. So God had given him insight. God didn't give him the whole picture, but God gave him enough for him to be able to move forward. That's why, and that's how God leads. God does not give us a complete picture. In fact, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul explains to us some of the limitations we have in this world. If we look at verse 11 and 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 and 12. Let's look at it in a modern translation. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So in the journey of our faith, we take baby steps and then we grow and then we grow and then we grow. Growth is a continuous thing until we leave this world. And then he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. So while we are on this side of eternity, we see as in a mirror, through a glass. It's dim. So God will not give you the complete picture. He will give you enough for you to be able to trust him. Because it's a journey of faith. It's a walk of faith. So you must be able to trust him, that he knows where he's leading you. So you will see as through a glass, it will be dim. But someday, somebody say someday, when you see him, when you appear before him, he says, but then face to face. Now I know in part, he says, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Someday when you appear before God in heaven, you will see him face to face. You will know all things. But now you know in part, I know in part. But you know enough. God gives you enough to be able to trust him, to be able to walk with him in this journey. So the question is, how does the Lord speak to you? When was the last time the Lord spoke to you? When was the last time you received instruction from the Lord? To be still and experience the fullness of God, you must be in a position to receive instruction. Somebody say, receive instruction. Amen. Now, so you received the instruction. God has given you his word. Remember that when God gives his word, there are three things that are locked up within that word. So you remember our three P's. The word has power. It can accomplish whatever God has in mind. You remember that? The word has power. It can accomplish whatever God has in mind. The word will not return to God void. He said, and the word that I send to you, he said, as the rain comes down and does not return hither, but accomplishes whatever I have in mind, so is my word that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. So the word comes, it does not return. The word has a purpose. There's a reason behind the word. God does not just speak in vacuum. There's a purpose. There's something he has in mind why he has sent that word to you. So when you receive instruction, you need to think, okay, so why have you given me this word? What's the purpose of this word? What's the reason, Lord, for this word? Why have you given me this word? What do I need to do with this word? You know, at the beginning of the year, the Lord told us to be still and know that he is God. And said, Lord, so why are you giving us this word? What's the purpose? Why? And then he said there will be turbulence. There's a purpose. There's a reason. Why did God speak to Moses at the beginning of the journey? and tell him some of the things that were going to happen, how he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not be afraid, so that when the children of Israel come to kind of attack him, they won't overwhelm him. So he told him from the beginning, these are some of the things that will happen. I will harden his heart. He will come after you. He would do his best to get hold of you. You know, he would come with his best chariot, because I've hardened his heart. He would pursue, but I would gain glory for myself. So Moses knew that. The children of Israel did not know that. So it was easier for Moses to hold on to God than it was for the children of Israel. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, God reveals his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. What is the Lord saying to you? What instruction is he giving to you? And why? You must be able to have that conversation with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this one, but why are you giving me this one? What's the purpose? What's your goal in this? Where is this leading us? You must be able to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying? Where are you taking me? What is the purpose of this word? Amen. So you receive the instruction. You're running with it. Challenges will come. Difficulties will come. And it's interesting. And we brought this up at Bible study. Verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to close here. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Now, so every time there is a challenge, every time there is a difficulty, every time there is a problem, every time you're faced with a mountain, because now there was the Red Sea in front of them. There was the Egyptian army behind them. So they were stuck between the devil and the deep blue sea. Every time that happens, there is a solution. There's a divine solution. It says, which he will show you today. Today, there's a solution for that challenge today, right now. There's a solution for it. He will show you today, not tomorrow, today. And then he says, for the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, the challenges, the problems in your line of vision. He didn't tell them you'll never see Egypt again. But these particular Egyptians, these Egyptians that you have seen today, this problem, this challenge, this difficulty in your line of vision, you will see them again no more forever, because I will take care of them. But because you are still in this world, and because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers it from them, or there will be other challenges. So the one for today, the Lord will take care of. There will be another one tomorrow, and you need to go back to him, and he will take care of that. There will be another one, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Amen. So what's in your line of vision? What's blocking you from achieving what God has called you to achieve? What's blocking you from moving into where God is taking you? What's in your line of vision? The Lord says, stand aside. The battle is his. don't need to cry. As I said earlier, during the communion, if you give up in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The Lord is saying that, you know, there will be challenge, there will be turbulence this year. But he says the battle is his. And you need to realize that there are things God is doing behind the scenes that you're not aware of. And you don't need to know about them. He's doing them because he's God, he cares for you. Just like he did for the Israelites, and they had no idea what he had done, what he was doing. So you need to just step aside, stand still, and then you will know that he is God. And he's not even asking you to stand still in your own strength. You can ask him, Lord, help me to be still. Lord, teach me to be still. Lord, help me to stand aside. Every time you're agitated, every time you're rattled, every time you're feeling the pressure, the heat of the battles of life, speak to the Lord. Remind him of his word and tell him, Lord, help me to be still. Help me that I will experience. Help me to be still and to experience your fullness as God. Now, if you're here today or you're listening online and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, what we've spoken about do not mean a thing to you. You cannot be still and experience the fullness of God if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. So I want to give you this opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart today to become your Lord and your Savior, just like you to say this short prayer after me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I cannot help myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on my behalf to save me. I believe that he was raised up from the dead for my justification. Today, I invite you, Jesus, into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Save me from my sin because I cannot help myself. Write my name, I pray, in the book of life. Give me the Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you and not to go back to a life of sin. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer and you're online, I'd like you to contact us through our website. And that's nccwellington.org, nccwellington.org. And for those of us here, if you pray that prayer, please speak to me at the end of the service. Let us pray. Why don't you just speak to the Lord? Just respond to the Lord. I don't know where he's spoken to you, where he's touched you. You need to take baby steps to receive instruction from the Lord. When you ask the Lord to sharpen your hearing, to anoint your hearing, that you will hear his instructions, you will hear him clearly, you'll be able to receive his instructions. You need that to be still. When you ask the Lord to help you, maybe you're prone to anxiety, you're prone to worry, you're prone to fear. The Lord says, be still. To be still is to be calm in the midst of the storm. Why don't you ask the Lord today to help you give over your anxiety and your worry and your care and the fears to him, and ask him to help you to be still, that you will experience his fullness. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray your word will not return to you void. I pray your word will accomplish your purpose in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies, O God, which are new every morning. I pray, Lord, you will strengthen us. I pray you will uphold us. I pray you will help us to draw closer to you, to walk closer with you.